for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, May the 27th, 2018. Randy Ritchie is the speaker of this service teaching on weapons of warfare.
I'm going to talk about worship right here in a little bit, but I want you to know something. The Lord deserves it, and we need it. If He inhabits the praise of His people, now listen, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. He's never forsaken you. He's never abandoned you. He's always there. But there's a time when we just need to feel His presence. We need to. He does things even in a corporate environment, you know, where we're together giving glory that doesn't happen anywhere else. And so let's just give Him what He deserves here today. Lord, I just pray that You make it more than a song, more than just singing a song, that we give You something. Listen, what are we going to give Him anyway? What are you going to give Him? But I mean, can you pay Him enough money? Can you even give Him enough time? But He delights in a song. So He delights in your obedience. They're called sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of prayer. There's sacrifice of money. There's sacrifice of time. You offer your body as a living sacrifice. That means when you come to somebody, cousin, you don't come back. That's living sacrifice. You get tempted sexually and you don't do it, you turn away, the devil, I'm dead to that. That's a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
But in the Lord, that's all wonderful. But He takes pleasure when you sing to Him. So, Father, we just ask You to help us give You what You deserve. We thank You for everything You've done. We thank You that You love us. You love us when we're unlovable. And You've honored us to allow us to come to You. You've rent the veil in two, so that we can have a personal relationship with You. So, Lord, we thank You for that today. Thank You for everything You've already done. Thank You for what You're going to do. Thank You for the anointing that destroys yokes. In the name of Jesus, help us, Holy Spirit, to sing and give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Flowing down the cross where Jesus.
Let me tell you something. One for the blood, nothing else happens. In all of our understanding, I'm just going to say this. Let's speak a little bit here. If you choose the path of freedom, you know, we didn't write the words, wide is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow the path that leads to eternal life, and few therein choose it. Jesus wrote those words, and he's telling the truth. So, ultimately, in the broadest spectrum of that, that's heaven or hell. So, you got 7 billion people on the earth, I promise you, between here and the tribulation, 5 billion of them are not going to get saved. Why is the path that leads to destruction?
That's right. Amen.
So by the grace of God, you have found yourself on the path.
Amen.
That's narrow. Thank God.
Amen.
He refused to lose. And he called your name. And he made a way. And you're blind. And listen, in all of our mess. Oh, my Lord. We're so messed up. You know, the Word of God says that even the best we can offer is filthy rags compared to His holiness. That's not to say that our works are bad, done in the name of the Lord. Some of our works that people do, that they do saying in the name of the Lord, are really for self. The Bible says those get all burned up. The only works you do that are going to get a reward in heaven are the ones that you're doing knowing that the Lord wants you to do it and for His name and not ours. Okay? But so let's say, wide is the path that leads to destruction and narrow the path that leads to eternal life. So that's about the gospel, about getting saved, about realizing you're a mess and that you're a sinner and that sin is the problem and that the only answer is Jesus and getting born again. But then even within that, now you start narrowing things down to you got what's called believing believers and unbelieving believers. Okay? So do you believe the truth, the gospel, the whole gospel? Are we going to believe or not believe? Do we believe that He's a good Father? Do we believe when He says, be anxious for nothing? Do we believe when He says, don't worry about what you're going to wear? Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Even the birds. Even the flowers. And all of their beauty. Huh? Solomon and all of his... Well, didn't even compare to the flowers. And God cares far more about us and knows the count of our hair of our head than He does about anything else on the face of the earth. And He's a good Father. Do you believe Him?
Yes. Amen.
Do you believe He'd take care of you?
Amen.
You believe He'll provide for you?
Amen.
Do you believe He'll protect you?
Amen.
Do you believe that on the day, listen, if tribulation, when the tribulation comes here and we hold fast to our faith and they come, cut our heads off if that's what they did. Do you believe that He'd give you the strength to hold?
Amen.
And that you got promoted and the devil loses anyway? Amen. We can't lose.
That's right.
We can't lose. You can't lose. Do you believe the Word of God that says He always causes the saints to triumph?
Yes, amen.
Can anybody tell me if always means part-time or every once in a while? Oh, it means every time, always. However God chooses, He's God and He's got our best interest. But I'm going to tell you a whole lot of the bad things that have happened to us and our ancestors is just because we broke covenant. Huh? Or just never were in covenant with Him. I had a man tell me one time, he was a preacher, and he said, now listen, y'all listen to me. He says, we love miracles. Love a miracle. Man, who doesn't? He said, the only thing is, I'd rather live in the blessing than create problems I need a miracle to get rescued from.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? God's a good God. He's a good Father. So we gotta choose here. Are we gonna be believing believers or unbelieving believers? Am I gonna believe Him that He's my Father and He'll take care of me? Am I gonna believe Him that He's gonna provide for my needs? Am I gonna believe Him? Listen, so even when you're in a trial, I'm just gonna give it. So there's some note takers in here, and I guess these are bonuses to the Lord. I feel like He's wanting to share. When you got a problem, the very first thing you should do is go, Lord, have I done something wrong?
if you don't know. If you're convicted, deal with it. But the very first thing, you're going to Him, Lord, is there something that has opened the door? Frank talked on open doors. Access, we've got access to them, open gates. There's a window to heaven, to the third heaven, that you want to open over your life. That's from the Lord's throne, not the second heaven where the battle's fought, from the Lord's throne. You want that window open to your life. But so are there other doors that are open? And that's first thing is you, personally. It's me. I'll just speak first person for me. It's me. Lord, have I missed something? Have I judged somebody? Have I spoken something I shouldn't have spoken? Not out of sin consciousness. Listen to me. I walk around in the grace. We want to walk in the grace of God. Know that He's for you, not against you. Know that He's with you. But if something's going wrong, I need to find out why. And He's not mean. And He's not vengeful. And He doesn't want to harm His children. He wants to bless His children. But if I get outside of His commandments, listen to me, they're not grievous. They're good. And so every moral law, every moral issue the Lord ever put down in the Old Testament is still alive today. If you don't believe it, go break the law. See what happens. Is murder still murder? Is adultery still adultery? Every moral law. Ceremonial laws are gone. Jesus took all that. Jesus, the sacrificial law. Jesus did it. You don't have to go out and kill a goat. Anybody got a goat they ain't going to kill? Huh? We don't have to do that anymore. Jesus did it. But if I break His moral laws, I've still broke His moral laws. And the problem, and what the devil accuses you when he goes before the court of God, he accuses the saints night and day, accuses the brethren night and day. Alright? He accuses them night and day. What's he accusing us of? A breach of the moral laws of God somewhere. When you file your case in the court finds in your favor, you tell the devil to take a hike. You can do it in authority. So the first thing I'm going to do is say, Father, because listen, and today, listen, today, you've been in here getting deliverance. You've been in here getting your heart healed. Some of you are gaining knowledge. Hope everybody is. It's all wonderful that we've seen the freedom and seen things happen here, but it has to go out there. And you've got to hold it. So what I'm going to teach today, what I believe the Lord's going to bring is ways of holding it, weapons of warfare. So when there's a problem, what do I want to do? I'm going to go to the Lord. What's this? Why is this, Lord? Okay? And He is the boss. If things are happening, then they're happening for a reason. So one of them is, and listen, so one of them is, if the enemy has got an unrepented sin that I'm walking in, he has a case at the throne. And if I don't respond through the blood of the Lamb, now I'm not guilty through Christ. But now listen, you go cheat on your husband or wife, you committed adultery, what could happen? The wages of sin is death. Could death come to your marriage? Do you get it? Could death come to your marriage if you commit adultery? Could death come to your relationship? What if there's disease? Could you die from something you caught there? If you go rob a liquor store, the wages of sin is death. Well, death comes in different forms. You could get shot in the back on the way out the door. You could end up in prison. None of that's good. But those are results of breaking laws. Okay? They broke God's laws. So robbing a liquor store, you broke God's law, you broke man's law. Which that one mirrors God's law. Amen. How many know not all man's laws mirror God's laws? So we're to obey the law of the land. But just because prostitution's legal don't mean it's okay in places. Okay? Just because marijuana's legal in places doesn't mean that it's still not witchcraft. Then it's still not going to tamper with your mind. Because I'm going to tell you something. Any mind-altering substance, a mind-altering substance, any changing, then it's witchcraft. Now look, there might be people here, and there might be people that are listening that are on anti-anxiety medicine. I'm not calling you a witch. I'm just telling you that God's got a better way for you if you'll get delivered and get healed and go to the Holy Spirit, and He'll be your comforter, and you won't have to stay numb. Because I promise you, listen, what it does is it numbs you so much the demons can't even use you. what it does. And it takes you out of the reality of the wholeness of relationship with the Lord, because your mind is altered. And it's a trick of the enemy. I know people that got off in fear, and the enemy put fear on them, and they had to go on those things, and they for a temporary point. But in their hearts, they said, "Lord, this ain't right. Something has to change." And they began to get God's truth in them, and they began to start dominating the enemy. And they're not on them anymore. Never be on them again. But that may be a nugget for somebody. First thing, something's wrong. I'm going to ask God, is it me? Have I done something? Would you show me? Okay, get that clear. If he shows me something, I'm going to repent. Maybe one of the generational curses way back still hanging around. I've been through every book. I've been through every death. I've been through all that. But maybe there's something that needs the revelation from the Lord to take care of. I had a cursed property one time. Somebody got killed on it. That property, we had more problems there than you could imagine. And I repented. Listen, I knew how to repent. I've been coming here since 2005, learning how to repent, learning how to get free, learning how to... And I knew everything to do, and I prayed every single prayer. And I had to go up and say, "God, I need you to show me and bring me a key." And he brought me a man that told me back in the 1800s a man got murdered on my property. And then my wife saw a man in chaps in our backyard the next day. And when she did, now I knew where it was. I walked to that spot and I said, "I repent for this murder," and I closed this portal, this entrance into my property, and everything changed. And I was able to take a property I was going to sell that I did not want to sell cursed. But I had to have that word from the Lord. Do you hear me? So there are things that we can do and strip, and we do those things. I recommend everybody break every Levitical curse, break every curse in Deuteronomy, repent for them, break them. You filed your case in the court, but sometimes you need that word from the Lord. If you ask Him, He'll give it to you. So, is there something? Is there something I missed? All right. So, the next thing a problem can be is this something that's been sent against me? Has somebody cursed me with their words? Has somebody worked witchcraft against me? It's real. It's a real world we're in here. It's not imaginary. It's not game plan. Enemy has power. He works through people. The greatest curse you can ever get against you is when a Christian curses you with their mouth. Because they're supposed to be the carrier, the judge. We're the judges. God said, listen to me, as judges, to judge the demons. We judge fruit, bad behaviors, bad behavior. We love one another. Could be me. Could be me doing it. By the grace of God, I may not. So I want to restore people. I want to pray for people. I'm not going to condemn people. But listen, we have the greatest power of anybody on the face of the earth. And so if I give my agreement to the devil in gossip and backbiting and slander against another human being, I've given him my agreement. He takes it. And whatever they're doing, they'll increase in doing, unless God rescue. Hear me. What God hates, and He said, we consume one another. We consume one another. And then God whack him and teach him a lesson. You know what he said. Come on. You know who answers that call? It ain't the Most High God. The devil's going to whack him. There are people walking around, especially ministers, oppressed because somebody's sitting there praying amiss. If they're wrong, and you know it's wrong, Father, I forgive them for doing that. I release them. I bless them. I bind the enemy in Jesus' name. I break the power of what blinds them. And Father, I ask you to show them the truth, and I bless them to understand. Come on. So you may be sitting there, and all of a sudden, oppression is rolling over you. Heaviness. Maybe you woke up one morning, and you stubbed your toe on the bed going to the bathroom. You spilled your coffee all over you. You tripped going outside. You almost got hit in the car. Everything is going wrong. Something is happening. And body of Christ, there's no such thing as an accident. We've got a cosmic chess match going on for the souls of men between the Lord and the enemy. It ain't for the throne of God. It's not for His sovereignty. He made the devil. He owns the devil. It's for the souls of men. God gave the earth to man. The devil the devil was invited in by Adam and Eve. That's who we contend with. God will do away with him one day. In the meantime, He uses us, His people, to destroy works of darkness. So listen to me for the rest of your life. I want you to hear this. You're either going to work, yeah, and I'm going to speak on words here in a minute, but your words are either going to agree with darkness or destroy all the days of your life. So now, is somebody sending something? Has somebody operated some witchcraft on me? Has somebody spoken ill of me? Has there been a soulless prayer prayed? Those soulless prayers are the ones, like I said, oh God, whacking. They're prayers done in the name of Jesus that are not anything Jesus would answer. Because they mean harm for another person. Okay? They're judging another person. Everybody say, Father, forgive me. If I've ever prayed soulishly. Because I'm to come to you. In spirit and in truth. As an intercessor. So I break the power of those soulish prayers against anyone else that have returned back to me. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and take a deep breath. Let them go. Come on. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, I break all that. In Jesus' name. 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 It doesn't mean you don't see things wrong, and it doesn't mean you don't pray. But what's your spirit? What's the motive in your prayer? Kingdom building? Destroying the kingdom of darkness? Or are you in agreement with the kingdom of darkness? So soulless prayers, witchcraft, things happen. And the last thing is, some of the problems are just because God is allowing something to happen. To sharpen your sword. To make you a better soldier. To teach you. Now if they're hitting you, you probably needed to take care of one of those two, three things. And I'm just going to tell you, the witchcraft, it doesn't work if you walk in love. It works, listen, when you're ignorant. That means most of the church doesn't have a clue that witches are working them over. And they're getting worked over, and they just think those accidents and those divorces and all of that is a result of chance. Speaking truth. And the enemy is sending his people in, wolves in sheep's clothing. Let me tell you something. Do you know what a wolf in sheep's clothing looks like? A sheep. It's like a sheep. And nobody's going to see that. But nobody knows unless the Lord gives discernment. And then we don't go around looking at witch hunts, scared of who might or what. We just pray against their works and pray God bless them and save them. Okay? But if your love walk, all right? So if you're ignorant and you don't respond, things bear a response. Listen, if you're a writer, write this down. Dark things require a response. We're our focus is on loving the Lord. All right? But when something dark comes into your sphere of influence, either through a word that comes into your head, a temptation, or hey, about an ambulance going down the road. Is there anything good about that ambulance going down the road except for maybe the person's getting help? But has a heart attack come? Have they been in an accident? Are they having kidney stones? What's going on in there? Wouldn't it be well done if God's people responded to that with Lord simply a little bit of time that says, Lord, I bind the enemy and that. Would you be with them, Lord? Comfort them if they're yours. Heal them if they're yours. Save them if they don't know you. Use this for your kingdom. Do you pray when you see the police pulling somebody over the side of the road? Do you pray that there would be justice, that there would be mercy, that there would be no violence? That if the person needs mercy and let go, they'd be let go. That if they need to go to jail, they go to jail because let the kingdom come of the Lord. Right? We have that kind of power and influence. Okay? Sometimes, though, I want to go back to this. Sometimes your problems are because God is teaching that you better learn to pray. Huh? You need to pray. We're not afraid of people coming to our house, but you don't know who's coming to your house. when the plumber comes in, he might bring in some helpers that you can't see. Huh? You might bring a helper to somebody else's house. Tell them to sit down and shut up until you're delivered of them. Amen? You hear me? We're not walking paranoid, but we're to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Okay? I guess this direction he wants to go. Don't let everybody lay hands on you. Don't go to church and just run up there and get in that prayer line. If the Lord tells you to get in the prayer line, go to get in the prayer line. If he tells you to. Listen, the ultimate, I'm telling you, my ultimate goal for me, and what my ultimate goal would be for any of you, is that we all get to a place where we can say, I only do what the Father shows me to do.
Yes.
So I'm not scared to go get in the prayer line. But if it's not my time to get in that prayer line, I don't get in the prayer line. Because maybe I'm not supposed to get in the prayer line because that man walking up and down there is full of lust. Maybe he ain't been delivered. And he's full of demons of lust. And if I go get in that prayer line, he puts his hands on me, now I'm going to have to fight lust. That'll be my choice or not whether to succumb to it. But listen, I don't want to fight any battles I don't have to.
Right.
I'm not telling you to be scared. I'm telling you to listen to the Lord. Amen? All right. So that was, I guess, a mini sermon before we ever get on. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, we just thank you for today. We're going to take an offering up. Thank you for this house. Thank you for people. Thank you for people that have been freely given to, and for anybody that can give, that will give. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you that every need be met. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, you're a good, good Father, and that you love us greatly. And we thank you for the offerings that come forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Carol, will you come sing a song? Yeah, you? Yeah, come on. Come on. Come get on that piano and sing a song. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The song? You got a song in your heart. You got another song in your heart, don't you? All right, there you go. There you go. Thank you, Father. Listen to it. She didn't expect me to do that. She didn't expect it at all. Something's been stolen from her. She's about to get it back.
Amen.
And the Bible says, be ready in season and out.
Amen.
I could sit here and tell you a whole bunch of things. I want to hear from the Lord what to do.
Amen.
And he wants her to sing. I just believe he wants her to sing a song. And we thank God. You see, we need to take territory from the enemy. We know it's okay? So now not only is she going to get her territory back, but she's being obedient. Huh? Listen, obedient. I want to tell you something. Sometimes correction, if taken wrong, will take something from you. And sometimes you just need to take the enemy and tell him to shut up. You know, I'm going to say this to you. Every correction you ever get in your life, you take it first to God. God was there for you. You hear me? And if it's from him, you say, thank you, Lord. And if it's not, you say, shut up, devil. So Father, anoint her and give her what she needs. Father,
just want everybody to know.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
This song is about fear is a liar. Anytime any fear is coming in, like I just have been unbelievably fearful this whole entire time, and then when Randy and them were praying for me, it all went away, and then came back, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this really rocks. So anyway, like if you're having fear, anxiety, or anything, it's a lie. It's a, you know, from the pit of hell, and it's just Satan comes to lie, kill, steal, and destroy. And anyway, music was taken away from me for a while, and you know, I'm gonna sing this song, "Fear Is a Liar," and you know, I'll try to.
Thank you.
All right. It might be out of my key, so that there's that. When they told you you're not good enough, they told you you're not right. When they told you you're not strong enough to put us back aside, it's definitely not in my key. You are. are good enough and God loves you, all of you. You can fight this battle. You can do it with Jesus.
Is accurate. It says he is a liar.
He, because he is an entity. It's a demon playing games with you, making your heart race, making you think you're going to die. He's a liar. He's a liar. Everybody say fear is a liar.
Fear is a liar.
Fear is the opposite of faith. Listen, the Bible says that if it's not faith, it's a sin. Can you get that? Everybody say, Father,
Father,
I repent.
For worshiping
at the altar,
of fear.
I renounce fear. In Jesus' name. And I command fear to go. Lying spirits of fear, be gone.
In Jesus' name.
Take a deep breath. Go, fear. Fear of man. Fear of rejection. Fear of abandonment. Fear of failure. Fear of authority. Let them go. Fear that nothing's changed. I break your power. Fear I go out, they'll all be the same. I break that in the name of Jesus. Go. In the name of Jesus. Fear, anxiety, worry, panic, depression, panic. You false God, get out, Pan. In the name of Jesus. Go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And thank you, Father. Fear somebody's going to die. Fear I'm going to lose somebody. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fear of death. We've been delivered from that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. Come on, let them go. Every one of you stubborn spirits, get out of them in Jesus' name. Go. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And say, Lord.
Lord,
I also reject
fear sibling,
which is pride. Because
pride
means I'm afraid of how I look. Say, Lord,
I renounce pride.
Command pride. And the sons of pride
to flee.
In Jesus' name.
Take
a deep breath. Let them go. Let them go. Go, pride. The Lord here to separate you from fear. I split that. Fear and pride in the name of Jesus. You got to go. In the name of Jesus. Even spiritual pride. I break your power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say it's good to get delivered. Thank you, Lord. We'll talk about the power of words. Life and death. We choose. The tongue is one of the most underestimated parts of the body. There is very little that is done by an individual to take care of it. Some people brush their tongue, some don't. Most know. Now listen. You don't want to put some kind of shaft through it, I can tell you that. Okay? Don't pierce your tongue. This is an aside anyway, but I'm just going to go on and speak here. God loves you if you've got tattoos. But you've entered into a covenant, a blood covenant, with the one that gave it to you, and whatever demons they have, you have. And your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, so you wouldn't go mark on the church building. When you got it, if you got them, and this is no condemnation, I say right now, if that was the way I went when I was in the world, or if I'd been ignorant beforehand, but when I was in the world, when I drank hard. When I smoked dope, I smoked hard. When I was into sexual sin, I did all that. I did a lot of it. So if I'd get into tattoos, I'd be covered head to foot. I would. And the tattoo, and then all those multiple piercings, honestly, they're part of you. They're addictive. It's bondage. But they're just an outer reflection of an inward problem that some of us didn't have it out with. Okay? But if you have those things, listen to the Lord. We're told in Deuteronomy not to do it. I told you, I started off here telling you that all of God's moral laws are the same. The laws on tattoos and cutting yourself are right there in the middle of God's admonitions against witchcraft. When I was a young man, the only people that had tattoos and bunches of piercings were people on National Geographic all over the world whose God was not Yahweh. Okay? and it is a bondage, and listen to me, it's preparing the way for the mark of the beast. Because if you're already marked, what difference is it? I'm telling you, for most people. But it carries with it spirits of pagan, idolatry, okay, slavery, whatever you got. If you got a grim reaper on you, then you got a grim reaper in you now. If you got a frog on you, you're carrying frogs. You know, whatever that monster is, you got that on. If you got Santa Muerta on you, you got Santa Muerta in you now. If it's a cross in Scripture, even though you meant well, the Bible doesn't say, but there's a saying that says the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I'm not telling you tattoos going to send you to hell. I'm not telling you piercings are. It's just open the door for demons that need to be closed and cleansed like anything else. And so if you put a cross on you, if you put Scripture on you, you've got an antichrist spirit because it's against God's Word. Even though you did it with good intentions. I know a girl that put a thing on her toe to remind her to pray. And when I told on the tattoos, and she come up weeping and crying, she says, since I put this on her, I haven't been able to pray. People put somebody's name that's died on their body, and then they never get over the grief. Now, there's a place to grieve, and there's a place to mourn, and we're supposed to, and we love our loved ones, but we should have assurance in the Lord about His goodness, you know, especially if they were saved, okay? But you have to move on. And if you look at the Old Testament, the patterns that we see there, and I'm not saying you're not going to have waves of grief after that in times, but God gave Israel 30 days to weep for Moses, and He said, let's get up and go. So for 30 days, they didn't do nothing. They sat, cried, got through it, and did what they did. But then you have to move on. The problem is that you stop and you cry when you miss your loved one, or you think about them, or any. That's not the problem. The problem is if you're stuck and you can't prosper, or you're operating out of fear, there's a stronghold that comes. But when you put one of those tattoos on you like that, you built a monument to that. And it won't go away. And it won't be back to good health for you in your mind until you repent, break that. First guy I ever prayed for and had him, we know it with oil every single tattoo, and he goes, I feel something different coming out of every one of them. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I believe the Lord did that, not only for him, but for me. Because, let me tell you something. The Bible tells us what to do. It gives us details and it gives us some stories. Okay? But if I call a Kundalini spirit out of you that you may have acquired from yoga or karate, alright? Kundalini's not in the Bible. Right? But what is in the Bible is this. God gave dominion to man. Adam named all the animals. We've been given the power and authority to call things things. So whatever man has called, that spirit that's over there in India that ends up in God's people here, if it's here and I say Kundalini, come out, it's got to come out. Okay? So I don't know why I went there, but somebody just may need some liberty there. And there's no condemnation. I told a fellow this here, and it's in here now, and we talked about this. I said, listen, somebody comes up to you, you're going to be ashamed. God's cleansed you. You know, if you've got a naked woman on you, and you're a man, you know, that's tattooed on your body, keep it hid. Okay, people don't need to see that. Okay? I mean, they don't. Something defiling, something that would offend, something, cuss words, things like that, those need to be hidden. Okay? But if you've got a shirt and there's something there and some kid comes up and says, oh, I love that. Did you tell him why you should have done it? Well, thank you for you being nice, but I'm going to tell you why I should have done it. Just like I'm going to tell you why I should have drank all those years. Oh, come on. We can use it as a witnessing tool. No condemnation. All right, so if you've done any of that, just repent and get free. Break soul ties with that person and move on. We may do that when I get through here. All right, back to the tongue. Most know the tongue to be a muscular part of the mouth that has sensory organs and glands that allow one to taste food. As well, it gives us the ability to speak. Without the tongue, it'd be fair to say there'd be no use for the mouth. However, the tongue is said to be the smallest organ of the body and yet is the hardest one to take and keep control of. As men and women of God, you've got to work diligently to tame your tongue. It's the smallest part of the body that gets people in the most trouble. Let me tell you something. The Lord's a deliverer, right? So maybe He comes along and He delivers you. He delivers you of the alcohol and the drugs and the sexual sin and all of these things, these glorious things he delivers you of, and all of a sudden some kind of vile mess comes out of your mouth. And the way you're going to sin, it's not necessarily that you're going to go back to the alcohol, you're going to go back to the sexual sin, but what the enemy is going to try to get you to do is curse somebody with your mouth. To sin with your mouth. Okay? But we don't want to sin. We want to be free people. We want to speak lies. Right? So the trick, his trick is to get you to get defensive, to get you offended, to get you in anger, to get you tired, to get you to say something that he can then use. It's the mouth going to get you in a place you don't want to be. James 3, 5, 6, 8. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of inequity. And so is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set fire on hell. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Man can't tame it. The Holy Spirit can. If we crucify our flesh, He'll teach you how to talk. I got it. I can't tell you why, but I did. I lived a long, dark life, and then when I started reading the Bible, and I'd read things like Jesus said, we're judged for every idle word, life, death, and the power of the tongue. Okay, when I read those, I realize it's true. Okay? Before even going any further, I'm going to tell you, if you really want to get some understanding, you get the knowledge, let the Lord bring you understanding, but go to the Proverbs or the highlight pen and highlight everything in there about words or speech and read how much God has to say. You'll be astounded because you're pretty well going to highlight 3/4 of the book of Proverbs. Words and speech. So as I began to read those things, I realized how much words matter. Then I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, would you help me to hear what I'm saying? Hear what I'm saying. How many have blurted something out of your mouth and you've seen somebody's face talk? Because you heard them. Somebody you love. And if you could, you would do anything that you could do to take those words back. Because you never really meant to hurt them like that. How many have been the one that got slapped in the face with those words? Both. Everybody here has done both. And have been on the receiving and the giving. The thing is, why would I want to give that anymore? So I'm going to ask the Lord, and I did ask the Lord, and I said, Lord, show me what I'm saying. And I could be literally in a conversation, and I go, and I just stop. I would just stop. Stop. Our victory in the Christian walk will rise and fall according to what we say. If we're speaking negative words, it shows we have a heart issue. Matthew 15:18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. 15:8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In another version of Matthew 15:19 says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Well, I'm at the same one. Let's look at the Word of God. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Say, Lord,
Lord,
I want to eat good fruit.
I want to eat good fruit.
Help me to speak good.
Help me to speak good.
Help me to speak life.
Help me to speak life.
Say, Lord,
Lord,
I repent.
I repent.
Where I speak death.
Where I speak death.
Lord,
Lord,
show me.
Show me.
Listen, I said things and went, I call crop failure on that. See, because your words are seeds. Seed, even the Word of God is a seed. And it brings forth life. Well, so if I'm speaking death, it's a seed that brings forth death. So when I'm calling crop failure, what I'm really saying is, God have mercy on me and don't let that bring what I just said. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such that is good for the building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Does it build or does it tear? How about somebody comes and they're talking to you about their spouse and you say, my spouse, blah, 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 blah. And you say, oh, honey, he should have never done that to you. I can't believe that man did that to you. I can't believe that woman did that to you. The nerve of that person. Or do you say, well, You know what? They probably had a bad day. Why don't we pray for them and go to war for them? Be feed? Listen, very few people gossip to me. I'm just going to tell you. If people come tell me problems, if they're coming sincere that we can pray for everybody, then that's one thing. But if they just come and tell on people, I don't want to hear it. And I'm going to take them straight to the Lord. And I'm going to point them straight out. And God forgive me wherever I've fallen for that mess. Okay? Listen, so we need to become a people that do that. Somebody comes up and complains, so we got to go tell him. Well, let's, you know, pray and then go talk to them. Pretty soon, a lot of people won't come talk to you. If they're looking for answers, they'll come talk to you. If they're looking to bat their flesh petted, they go, you know what I'm saying? They'll just go the other way and find somebody to agree with. Proverbs 12:18. There's one whose rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Say, Lord,
Lord,
I want to be wise,
and bring healing.
Matthew 12:36. I mean, this ought to be sobering, dude. This is as sobering, I'm telling you, is what Frank said. The Lord said, hey, I don't even know you. We cast out devils in your name. We prophesy, and depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I didn't even know you. But then that, I tell you, on that day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. If you're born again, you're going to go to what's called the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ. If you're not going to born, if you weren't born again, you're going to be resurrected with the wicked dead, and you're going to grow to the great white throne judgment at the end, and your name will not be found in the book of life. You'd be cast in like fire. Now, thank you, Lord, there's nobody here like that. But we're going to sit, we're going to go for the judgment seat of Christ, and yes, our sins are cast far as the east is to the west into the sea of forgetfulness. But you got to have your day in court to get all that permanently established before everything. And Paul says, he said that we're going to be judged. Now he's talking about us, the body, for the works that we've done in the flesh, both good and bad. So we're going to go before the Lord. And listen, so the bad stuff is going to be played out and then cast away, and Jesus is going to get the glory. So all of my junk is going to get played out before, and then Jesus said, but I paid the price. And everybody's going to go, glory! And he's going to get it. And then we're going to get our rewards. Amen. But you got to have a day in court to get it taken care of. If you were a criminal here on this earth, in the United States at least, if you get yourself right and you got the right favor, there is a thing called expungement. And you can go to the court. And when you go to that court, it's taken off as if it never happened. That's what that is for us. It's our expungement. But at the same time, why do I want to add to the list of what needs to be expunged? Huh? When I've got a great God that's done great things for me.
That's right.
Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Colossians 3:8. This is the English Standard Version. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Don't stand around and listen to dirty jokes. You say, hey, bless y'all, I've got to move on. You don't have to correct everybody. You correct once God shows you to correct. But you don't have to listen to stuff. And then when you walk away, go, Lord, I bind that blasphemous spirit. I bind that spirit of obscenity. And I thank you, Lord, you show me truth, show me glory, and show me goodness. Could be you telling a joke, just don't eat it. Huh? Matthew 12:37, for by your words you'll be justified and by your words we'll be condemned. Simple as this, yes Jesus or no Jesus. Whoever guards his mouth, Proverbs 13:3. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. For a long time the old men used to have a saying, especially the Navy guys, and it was loose lips sink ships. Because if you were on a ship at war and you talk too much, the submarines would pick you up and send you a torpedo. He who opens his wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 21:23. whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. I may have it down here later, but I'm going to tell you one of my favorite proverbs is even a fool that keeps his mouth shut is considered wise. Sometimes that's good for husbands to know.
Amen.
Wives too, by the way. Listen, if you know it provokes them, just don't say. Okay? Just don't say. Say something nice instead. You know, if somebody would say something ugly to you, you can turn around and say something like, you know, I never think about you like that. I think about all the good things you do. You're such a good fill in the blanks. Find something good to say good to them. Right? Return good for evil. Bible says when you do that, you're heaping hot coals down their back. You're literally just stepping all over the devil. Because what the enemy is trying to do through it didn't work. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. James 1:26. If anyone thinks he's religious, I think you can take that out. We kind of frown on the religious word, but let's say just, you know, it's the one that used. And in a good way, that means committed to God. All right? In relationship, it's wonderful. If it's your tradition and religion, it stinks. But if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Worthless. Anybody ever get in a fight? I'm just going to talk to husbands and wives here. Let's just say this. And it can go with relationships. But the first level of an argument is a place where you just disagree. You think this, I think that. And we speak that opinion. And that's okay. It is okay. And it's okay to agree to disagree. Oh, by the way, that human being ain't made just like you. They might not think like you. They don't have to agree with you, and you're not less than because they don't agree with you. Okay? You're not less than because they don't agree. Okay? Sometimes we got to talk things out and then come to agreement. Sometimes the ultimate thing is that you have a right to disagree with me, but I still love you. But if it goes to the next level, it gets personal, like you're an idiot. You're stupid. Huh? Demeaning, hurtful, cutting words. And as soon as that happens, you're in the flesh. We need to be a people that don't dread confrontation, because sometimes we have to come together to talk about things in order to make things happen. We dread them. One of them's over here putting it off. One of them's over here putting it off. The thing just grows. Might not even be anything. And then you come together all fearful and you have a blow up when maybe all that could have been done away with 6 weeks ago. And the devil's been stealing your time. And every day you're going, what am I going to do about that? What about that? But we got to be able to come together. But we come together and we speak. And then we can come to agreement or not agreement. Agree to love one another. Sometimes we agree to disagree. But boy, when it goes into the stage of personal cuts, now you're in the flesh. And you can go down to the level where you got the demons inside of you going, I got mine going. And the ones inside that person going, me too. And you're pounding each other. And you started off shooting a pea shooter and you end up firing nuclear weapons at each other. You got to turn away. I'm telling you right now, the minute it begins to be a personal cut down is the moment to repent and stop. Get to a place you never do that. But boy, turn away. My wife and I used to fight. Lord, we got married. I was the one that God used to deliver her. Till we got married and I found out how messed up I was. Listen. Because the shots that were fired, I wasn't healed enough to take. And she wasn't healed enough to quit firing them yet. I could go out and pray to somebody and deliver them on, you know, at 5 o'clock, have a fight with her at 5:30, and then we'd go in and somebody call at 6 to get prayed for all the time. We're messed up. Even though God would use me to help those people, and I would have to come under condemnation. Who are you to pray for them? And Lord, but listen, we were molded, we were being shaped, we were saying, what's wrong, what's wrong? Help us, Lord. We were getting delivered. We kept coming here. We kept getting deliverance. People kept deliverance. We kept walking out our deliverance. We kept doing what we were called to do in Him, what we're all called to do, which is walking out with Him. And after a while, I went one day to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm the one that's the problem. It ain't her. It don't matter what she says. It's me. I need help. I need help, Lord. This doesn't look like you. It's in the way it's supposed to be. And the help he gave me was literally this. We could be talking, and when it would escalate, and I could sense it, that it was going to go to a place it didn't, I would stop, go in the other room, say, Father, forgive me, forgive her, me first. See, because if I say forgive me first, I'm not doing this. So I'm the head, I'm the husband. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive her. Father, thank you for talking to your daughter. She's yours. And devil, I bind you from interfering and bringing anger into my home. And in a little bit, I go and give her a glass of tea or something, sing a song about how pretty she is. And everything went over. So after a season of doing that, dominion was taken over the enemy. Okay? Listen, I still tell her she's pretty, but I haven't had to sing that song in a long time. I still sing to her, but not because I'm having to fit, you know, because the Lord, the more that you conquer the flesh and the works of the enemy, the more you're going to walk in the peace of God. Listen to me. That doesn't mean you might not have a trial, but you're dominating the enemy. And you get victory. Lord's good. Amen? Amen. It starts with taming this. Get control of the time. James 3, 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouth of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. They're also so large that are driven by strong winds. They're guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also is the tongue a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Anybody here ever start a forest fire with their mouth? Huh? Anybody here denies it? Well, I just praise God for you. That's all I say. Thank you, Lord. You've been blessed. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 17:28. Here's the one. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Luke 6:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of his heart the mouth speaks. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Proverbs 17:27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he has a cool spirit, is a man of understanding. Cool spirit, that version said. It means you're not on fire ready to snap somebody's head off every time. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Words are so important, and the Word is so important, that God said Jesus is the Word. Word who became flesh. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pours out folly. Folly is an interesting word, too, because if you look it up, I'm not saying it is right there, but when you look it up, almost everywhere you find the word folly in the Bible is to do with sexual sin. So look it up. Any of you got one of those Bible search apps, go look up folly and see what it teaches you. Proverbs 16:23. Listen, I promise you, there have been very few sexual sins anywhere ever started without words. Adultery don't start without words. Some people commit adultery just by finding them a Facebook friend. And even if they don't end up physical adultery, they end up spiritual adultery because they make an emotional commitment to somebody that's not their spouse. That's you get free of it. You got somebody doing that, pray for them. Somebody you know that they're planning with fire. See, because if you're married, for one thing, if you're a woman, you need to be telling your problems with your husband to a godly woman. who's going to point you to Jesus, who's going to fight for your marriage. If you're a man, you need to be telling your marital issues to a man who's a godly man who's going to point you to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And anything else is playing with fire. Yeah. Listen, there's many a pastor went into an innocent counseling session in which he failed to guard himself. You hear what I'm saying? He didn't have another female in the room. Didn't have the door open with another female. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
I mean, you got to be wise. Proverbs 16:23-24. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is considered prudent. Proverbs 17:9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. I've seen it. Listen to me. People got. I've seen ministries. I've seen families that all somebody has to do is got a problem with this one over here, a problem with that one. Just go and say, listen, I have a problem. Can we talk? But instead, they went to this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. And all we're doing in that is looking to get somebody to agree with us. To get some allies in my cause to defame that one over there. It destroys things. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. I want to say this. How should lost... Do you think lost people should act anyway but lost? They act lost. I mean, people, listen, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but if you're one of those that's been slandering all those liberal people, you're slandering lost people instead of praying for them. Come on. Could be us. Are we sitting there with those men called libertards, all sorts of names for people that are lost? Now, if you sat there in any given one of those people, you would just slander them on your Facebook, you would just talk all that trash about them instead of praying for them, and then they're right in front of you the next day, what spiritual authority are you going to have to minister to them? Just saying. Listen, I'm not saying that we don't need to resist what the Muslims are doing at times. I mean, you have to. But boy, your heart better not be that they're supposed to be destroyed. Is that your heart? Is that God's heart? Or did he just die for Americans? Baptist Southerners. Come on. Assembly of God's. Now, he died for everybody. By the grace of God, you got born here. And however you got here, however your ancestors got here, by the grace of God, you were born in a place where the gospel could be preached freely. Because if it wasn't, you wouldn't be sitting right here. Thank you, Father. Everybody say, forgive me, Lord.
Forgive me, Lord.
If I mock people,
made
fun of them,
fun.
Call them stupid.
Call them stupid.
In the name of Jesus. When you want to save them. Where I've condemned them. Instead of praying for them. What would happen? This is just a question. You know, what would happen if every Christian that's in America that knew the truth, that knew what was right, and knew what was wrong, instead of mocking those people, all of us together began to pray for them? Would we maybe get a harvest out of them? Would all of them turn? No. Would there be a bigger harvest than there is right now? It's easy to fall into this stuff. It really is. But now do you want to walk free? And the things that you judge people for, you might end up doing. Judge not, you shall not be judged. The same measure you judge with, be measured back to you. And that means if you judge the neighbor there because their kid went off into drugs and you saw my children never do that, you better hold on. This is coming to your house. Okay? That's what that means. But that doesn't mean we don't judge right and wrong. But instead, I look at that neighbor and I say, look what those demons are doing with that kid. Lord, I ask you to forgive that whole family. And I find the enemy, Father, and I ask you to touch that kid. I ask you to show him the truth and deliver him from that. Now, that's what we're supposed to do. Not judge as if it couldn't be us. Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Proverbs 27:2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips. I know an awesome man of God, and he's an apostle, but he says you'll never hear me call me one. Other people do, and his works are that, but he's not looking for a name. You understand that? And there may be some people that will say they're an apostle and they're not looking for a name, but there's a whole lot of people that need to be an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or teacher or pastor to get their identity from. Let the praise, your own praise, accept who you are, accept your value, love who you are, but you don't have to boast on yourself. Amen. We boast on Jesus Christ alone. Proverbs 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Things happen where you hear something and then you go out and speak about it. You know? I found myself one time talking about a football coach needing to be fired, and I went, Whoa! He's got a family. He's a man. Why would I want him fired over a game? You know, I repent, Lord. That's your decision. That's not mine. Come on. Oh, football? Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Everybody say, Father, I want to know the truth. So I'm asking you to show me when to receive exhortation and when to deny flattery. In Jesus' name. And I repent for anywhere in my life, my ancestors' life, where I flattered somebody, we flattered somebody to try to gain something. You understand the difference? Flattery always is for gain. That means I'm going to tell you you're the cat's meow because I want to get a promotion. Or I'm going to tell you that you are the finest preacher I've ever seen because I won't be your associate pastor. I'm just going on down the list, be anything. But it means somebody is speaking words to you to manipulate that you eat up because of. Now, the Lord showed, listen, I used to be when I would preach or pray for a thing, people would come up and thank me or say it's a good deal. I used to be so bad, oh Jesus, in a rough way. Okay? It is him. But here's the deal. Barnabas was an encourager. We are to encourage one another.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.